Gentlemen, it's so interesting story. I want to share that with you. We'll see what the morale of the story is, but I think it's an interesting story. There was a gentleman in Bnei Brak that was walking on the pavement. I saw this in a rabbi. He was walking on the pavement in Bnei Brak. The pavement wasn't even, and there was some sort of pit or hole, or I don't exactly know what it was, and he fell down, and on falling down, he broke his arm quite badly. He had to be hospitalized, and it was quite a business and everything. And then somebody told him that, you know, there's one particular lawyer in Tel Aviv who is an expert at bringing the council to court, bring the Riyadh to court, because it's their fault ultimately. There's certain statutory regulations you got to have, even in Bnei Brak. There has to be some regulations, you know, to protect the citizens and the people walking on the pavement. And it wasn't. So he said he's an expert at bringing the council to bring the area to court. And you know, it's no way, no fee. And why don't you get in touch with him and see what happens? So he said, you know, it doesn't harm to make a phone call. So this gentleman, as he was healing, he was calling this lawyer, individual in Tel Aviv, and he told him, and he discussed the case, and he says, you know, to me it sounds like a very likely case to get. You might get a hefty sum from the area. You know, it's worthwhile doing this. Again, it's no win, no fee, and if you want, all you need to do is come to my legal office in Tel Aviv, downtown Tel Aviv, and all you need to do, we'll discuss it, and we'll see what happens, and you know, you could, let's discuss it in greater detail. And the young man he said, okay, thank you very much, I really appreciate that, and I'll think about it, and he hanged up the phone. And 2 weeks later, he didn't go to Tel Aviv. 2 weeks later, he gets a phone call from this lawyer, and he says, listen, I kept your number, I am very busy, as you know, it's a busy legal office, I'm, you know, a successful lawyer, but I recall our conversation, and I noticed that you never came down, you never made it. Time, never scheduled an appointment. What's going on? So this young man from Bnei Brak says as follows. So listen, I was considering it, but then afterwards I decided against it. It's downtown Tel Aviv. I've got my principles. This is Tel Aviv. This is the summer. This is not a time for me to go to Tel Aviv. And I would think about it. I'd consider it. But now I'm busy writing a sefer. I'm writing a sefer on Gemaras, and I'm writing a sefer, and I feel it would be, I don't want to expose myself to anything I don't want to be exposed to at the moment, because I'm busy writing a sefer, and I feel it would be very, very wrong for me to do that. So, you know, I've decided to opt out of that option, and, you know, it's anyway healing, it's getting better, so forget about this. And the lawyer was very amazed. He said, I'm really, really amazed. I think that's really impressive. You know what? I'm going to come to you instead. You know, Bnei Brak Tel Aviv is not that far. He goes into his car, which is probably a black. Okay. No. He probably no. And he drives down to. And he drives down to Bnei Brak. He sees this young man in a tiny little flat in Bnei Brak, really tiny, tiny. And he's really amazed. You know, I'm going to come, let's sort out the case, maybe we can make money out of this. And discuss. Instead, tell me, you told me that you, he was truly amazed. He was really amazed. He says, I'm going to take this to court, and don't worry about it, I'll deal with it. Took all the details. And he said, besides that, I want to ask you, tell me what safe are you writing? What is exactly writing? He said, I'm writing this safe. And he said, I'm so amazed. Tell me, how much is the cost, the publication cost? This is 15,000 shekel to publish. To 15,000 shekel. Here it is. I hear 15,000 shekel. The schus of the safe should be mine. And he writes out the check, and the safe was in the. So, right. And now I don't know about the court case. I don't know about that. I don't know. I can only imagine it was successful. But I think the morale of the story, I think what I'm taking out of the story is that, I think if a person has got principles, Yeah, I think if a person has got principles, one shouldn't be, it's the good principles, the elche principles. And if it contradicts your shemaim, you don't get much further by undoing your principles. If you're undermining your own points you've established, and you don't get anywhere by undermining them. And I think that's perhaps what we can see from that story. I saw this and I wanted to share this with you. Okay. Gentlemen, we're up to Simon Ein Hey. We'll be talking more about the about halachas of Erva. We're going to go to halachas of Tzoya. Many more halachas to be discussed. And without further delay, in Simon Ein Hey, Seif Dalet, halachas as follows. Also, Liko is connected Erva. You are not allowed to say Kiya Shema in front of an Erva, meaning in front of a naked body. And finish loy with gilulim, even if it's a goy, makes no difference. V'chein connected Erva's cotton, even if it's a young child, also. Doesn't make a difference. There is an issa of reciting Shema in front of any connected Ervas cotton, Ervas glulim. Ve'ish matirin, the Rama says the some who allow it, connected with Ervas cotton, called Shema in Roly B. If it's a very young child, some allow it. Ve'chenikin the more paskins like that. Now the reason why this is perhaps quite important is the Mishnah Bu discusses from the Mogen Avraham. This is very relevant when it comes to a moil. So Moel also doesn't need to be makbid to cover as he's trying to make a bris, and does the body of the baby need to be covered whilst he recites the bracha, or is it not necessary? Can it just be that difference is in terms of overlas yosan, in terms of the bracha, does he need to be does the baby need to be undressed or not? So that's a discussion which is very relevant to Moelim. Shulchan Aruch Seif Hei continues with the following halacha: Erva be Ashoshis, if it's through glass. So there's an undressed body, but it is visible through a window. Also, because connected doesn't help the fact that if you can see it, you can see it. It doesn't make a difference the fact that it's through a window. You can see it. Glass doesn't protect it. It's visible, it's seen, so therefore it doesn't help. This is in contrast to the halachas we're going to be learning. When it comes to tzaya, of tzav excrement, they will see that there may be a difference if it's covered, even if it's visible. It may be better, but over here, of course, the halachas is that if it's connected, if it's covered, it won't help at all. Sivav teaches us how to ever connect the zipon of mimena. We discussed that last week. If a person is turning away his face from an erva, he's turning himself away from an undressed body. He turns away. He closes his eyes tight. If it's night, or he's blind, is permitted to read. It's all about seeing. And if a person is unable to see, such as a dark room, such as closed eyes, etc., then it's okay. The Mishnah is not so happy about this, since he's gotten choftes. He brings the name of Achronim, and it's the last line of the Mishnah. He says, closing eyes itself is not good enough, says the Mishnah. Just closing eyes is not good enough. You also got to turn around your body. Why so? Because very hard to control eyes is naturally, you know, it's very hard to have a fixated closed. It's very hard. So therefore, the Mishnah says closing eyes for anything which is ever related is not good enough, and a person must ensure besides the closing eyes, he also has to be, as he says, im hichzir kol gufo, he needs to turn away the entire body, not just the face, the entire body needs to be turning away. Only then he will be permitted. I don't think it's necessary. It could be, but I think it's more a physical thing, that if you just close your eyes eventually, you know, people tend to open their eyes unless they fall asleep. Of course. But generally,
let's make a bracha facing a toilet or a mirror.
Yeah, so a toilet, we'll be discussing that very shortly. Yeah, so the toilet will be discussed. That's going to be the last. So now we're talking about Erva, so that's different. And here we're learning, no, indeed, if there's anything which is sneers related, closing eyes itself is not good enough. You got to turn away as well as closing your eyes. I couldn't miss the book again. Shulchan Aruch says it's fine. Darkness, closing eyes, or blind person, they say that's enough. But the Mishnah Berurah says no. Closing the eyes not sufficient. You got to turn away your body. What about the Mishnah Berurah discussing the end of Sif Kotten Choftes? If there is in a situation where there is erva, for instance, he's not dressed himself completely properly. He's not totally. Would he be allowed to think in Torah? Is a person allowed to think Torah if he's not fully dressed.
What does fully dressed mean?
In a way that wouldn't be, that he wouldn't be allowed to say Shema.
Has he got like a belt on?
Let's say there is that much. Okay. What about if it's less than that? Let's say he would face a person who is, let's say a woman who is not sneistic, in a train. Would he be allowed to learn, think in Torah? He can't face his body away, because let's say it's the opposite seat. Can't change seat, the packed train.
Airplane. And he's looking down at Sefer.
Yeah. Would that be okay or not?
It's hard to say not.
Hard to say not.
Five hour flight,
what are you going to do? Yeah. So what are you going to do? 5 hours. Some people are able to fall asleep as soon as they... Have you seen those people? They don't wait for takeoff.
Yeah, they take medicine.
They don't wait for takeoff. It's just as soon as the seatbelt sign dark and you see them, you know, going... I don't know how they do it. It's normally the aisle seats. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the Mishnah says over here as follows: even if a person is naked himself, he's allowed to think in Torah. Even more so, if there's an erva opposite you, dibul also. Here, muta. This is a really key four words in the Mishnah Berurah. However unsneistic the situation is. So you could be opposite an erva, your own erva, whatever it is. Ervas dovo, the pasuk says, which means ervas dovo. Dovo always implies words, spoken words. I.e., that if there is nothing spoken, it's fine. So however unregulated that sneers is, hil, thought, thinking in Divrei Torah is fine. That's what he says. Dibu also, speaking is forbidden. Hiru, thinking in Torah, muta is permitted. But he can't be yoitze, bracha of somebody else. So you want somebody to yoitze you, the bracha, that won't work. Because that's not hiru, that's shmir. He says, no. It's in terms of brachas, hearing somebody else's brachas, that wouldn't work. But just thinking in Torah, that's going to be good enough. It's interesting that the person can discuss about, let's say you are in a train. I think the train is a very good situation. You're on a train, you're doing Manchester, London, you're in a train, and you are on the table. You took the table because you want to type on the computer something, some Torah thought or whatever, and is opposite you somebody not sneistic. Could you do that or not? So the hearing, we said, is the thinking is for sure okay. But what about the typing? Would that also be okay or not? So they say that probably typing is also fine. Ksivalav kedibon, typing is probably also good enough. If it's mainly primarily a thought process, you don't have to do it. But benching would be a problem. Making a bracha would be a problem. Yeah.
Very hard. So let's say you're in the train carriage, and you're usually got these back seats.
That would be separation.
Even though there are unsneered women in the carriage, and you could probably see them if you look around, but straight in front of you.
Yeah, that would be considered sufficient separation, that would be fine.
If
a person can turn the body completely, as we just discussed, and not just the eyes, not just the face, but the body around, that's fine. Yeah, that would also be fine, yeah.
Yeah, to a share.
Yeah, because that's considered hiru. We are making them be considered the hiru only. They will be classified as hiru, and therefore will be fine. Yeah. So although there is a discussion that maybe it's shmir, and shmir is shemak, and shmir is on a higher level than hiru, but in this context over here, so the poskim say that listening to yeshia is fine, because that would be quite classified as hiru only. Yeah. Okay, so that's the halachas of... relating to erva. Let's carry on. The Zohar Mitzoya B'Shas Ki Hashema Tzoya. So we're talking about now Tzoya. So we've spoken about erva. So that erva was discussed, and now we're going to move on to the tzoya b'shas ki hashema. So this is, there's various elements to that, as we're going to see now. Tzoya be'ashoshe. So if there's tzoya, which is visible through a window, mutaliko is kenegdo, you're allowed to say Shema if you can see tzoya. Avu b'shiroya is derech from the seldo, you can see it through there. It's there's a window, you can see it. Meshun de pekisu tola rachmonu de ksiv chzisu tzeis chaviz miskaseb. This comes from a pasuk Rabbi said. A pasuk says v'hoya machanecha kadosh. And the Gemara learns that it's even talking about military soldiers who are going to war. The Torah tells us, and when they're going to war, and obviously they've got there is no toilets and there's nothing out there in the fields when they're war. The Gemara says if they are relieving themselves after the pasuk says they have to cover it all up. It's a mitzvah. The Torah says that they have to cover it up.
It says so.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, so this is all part of the mitzvah. Vayar mechanecha kodosh. The pasuk does say though, if you're covering it all up, then it's okay. So again, this is different to erva. Erva, a covered erva doesn't help. When it comes to erva, it's about seeing. Seeing erva is a problem. Tzoya is nothing about seeing. It's about being in the same area, and therefore, if it's covered, it's okay. So the first sefer Shulchan Aruch tells us if it's covered, it's okay. So even if you put something which is see through on top of it, it will be fine. Which is, by the way, not just a glass. What happens if you put a plastic item, see through plastic, you put that on top of it? That'll be fine as well. It's covered up, and therefore it's fine. Tzoya beguma, and this was of course very common. If there was tzoya in a hole, in a pit, maniach sandolola, you can just put your shoe hovering over it. The chshivah kamechusa will be considered covered up. Vekiven shein reach ra, as long as there is no smell emerging, magiloy muta, it's permitted. Vushalei sandolo no yigia, but it's as long as the shoe is not touching it. So here we've got emerging another point, that there is two aspects really. Now we're going to see that across the simon. One is that you may not be in the same domain as tzoya. You can't be in the same area. Point number one. Besides that, there's another element of the reach rav, the smell emerging. These are two separate things, and both always have to be investigated. Is there a problem of v'yomechanecha kodesh in terms of area? Is it covered or not? And then there's another problem as well of potentially reach rav. Both have to be fulfilled. Siv Gimel, have you tzoya lefanav, he was passed across, like a bedpan or whatever, something was moved across him, past him. Also, liko is connected, you certainly can't say Shema at that stage. The pi chazir, I don't know where that comes up over here. Pi chazir, the mouth of a chazir. Yeah, the chazir ketzoya veres domi. The mouth of a chazir is always considered like tzoya. Interesting, no? The mouth of a chazir is always
considered. Because it goes back over.
Oh, that's why. Because it's chazir. Very interesting. I never realized. That's why it's called chazir. Because chozo means returns. Everything returns back into his mouth. Even if that makes so much sense. Thank you very much. I never understood that. Even if the pig is coming from a river, it's not really a river. It's like a mud puddle. I don't know exactly what it is, but they call it a no. He calls it a river. It doesn't come out clean. They don't come out clean. Yeah, because it's the mouth that is very dirty. It's like a graf shrei. It's a very dirty mouth, and you can't be fully cleaned. Now, there's one question which needs to be addressed over here, which is the following. So we understand that soya is a problem. I'm leaving out the problem of the smell now. Just the tzoya, the being present of tzoya is a problem. Is there a problem? What is it talking about? It's talking about saying Shema, about davening, etc. Is there a problem of doing a mitzvah in such a place? So, say you find yourself in a place where where it's not particularly clean, leaving out the problem of smell, but you can see there's tzoya there. Not covered. Can you do a mitzvah there, such as
bracha mitzvah?
Nope. That I know you can't do. I know you can't make a bracha because there's tzoya there. a mitzvah. Say you wanna. Yeah. Oh, Bikur Cholim, we'll talk about that. I'm going to leave this out for now. Let's leave out Bikur Cholim. It's a very important Mishnah Mezalman. I'm going to leave it on the list. But it's a good. Let's say Shiloh HaKan. I don't know. Well, Makkah. You want to build a Makkah there, which is a mitzvah. But you can't because there's Toya there. Is that a problem or not? We'll talk about dogs.
Why would it be?
So that it's just the speech was the problem, but not the fulfillment of mitzvah.
It's fitting place. You're saying it's not fitting place.
Yeah.
It shouldn't
affect it because at the end of the day, you're doing a mitzvah is not.
It's not dependent on the smell or something.
Yeah. So it's interesting. There is, what you're quoting is a bialocha elsewhere, which I think we may have mentioned not such a long time ago. The end of Chelik Vav says, yes, fulfillment of mitzvahs is not a problem. So even if there is, what would you say about Oda if there's Reach Ra? If there's Reach Ra, can you do a marker? Imagine there's the plump, the, what's called the pipes. Very, or there is the very, very smelly bins or smelly whatever. And you want to do a mitzvah there, such as a non-spook, non-verbal mitzvah. I think of an example now. Yeah, there's also got a bracha as well there.
I mean, it applies when you build a sukkah.
Absolutely, yeah. So you want to sit in a sukkah, forget about a bracha. So is there a problem to do a mitzvah in a place which has Reach Ra? Is that a problem or not? So the answer is, inevitably it's going to be fine. It's inevitably going to be fine. You can't do a mitzvah in a place that it's fine. I always said, tzitzis, we're wearing the whole day. Yom Shlomo Zalman says. You know, forget about bracha, not bracha. You can't, even in anywhere where you're fulfilling a mitzvah. There's no halacha. You can't do a mitzvah. You're fulfilling a mitzvah whenever you're wearing tzitzis, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Whenever you're wearing the tzitzis, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. The halacha is, even in a place where it's tzoya, even a place where it's reacha, you can do a mitzvah. The problem is to make a brocha, davening, shema. It's a speaking, which is a problem, but it's not the doing a mitzvah. So yes, so if you want to do a makkah and there's a smell there, if you want to do a sukkah and there is, this it won't be a problem. It's only the brach which is a problem. Okay.
Is Shmiah different for that? A bit like shofar, for example.
I think not. Although shofar is a bit of a problem. Does it, shofar is the halach of koil shofar? No, I think the answer is it's going to be fine as well. It's only the dibur, the speaking, the brachas, the tefillah is a problem. Yeah, so that would be fine as well. That would be fine because Hill is fine as well. Hill is fine. Yeah, but we'll talk more about this when it comes to Bikur Cholim. I want to talk a little bit more about this. Final halacha for tonight, Rabbi, so is a tzoya b'soroi. If there's tzoya on a person's body, tzoya al b'soroi, u'mechusa b'vgodov, and it's covered with his clothing, assuming there is no reacha, there is no smell, but there is tzoy on his body. Yesh matirim some allow likos to say shema, yesh oisim some say you cannot say brachas tefillah shema if there is tzoy on a person's body. Yesh oim shalo hitir amatir, some say that the ones who allow, they only allow b'tzal b'soil b'mokim shenichsem elio b'loy malbush k'gin atzil yodo v'noch nask divra machmir v'shich vazel b'soil dinu k'tzot v'shluchonoch v'il says there's a machloik as to whether, again, it must be, if it's not, there's no reachot, there's no smell, but if there's tzal on a person's body, is a person say shema or not?
According to my knowledge, 9 out of 10 people, when you're older, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 and older, it must be something coming out automatically.
Yes, that's Mishmur Mama speaks about this.
Not that I personally do it, I don't care. I personally, before I go to Daven, I go check myself.
Right.
Because 9 out of 10, you know I'm dirty.
Right.
And I never see anybody checking themselves before they
So I think Mishmur says as follows.
And the Daven and the land and all the, and all the, I think the davening and everything is in vain.
So there is the Mishnah Berurah does say, I'm going to quote while you are
saying. Not to be ashamed of that.
Absolutely, very good. You're saying it.
Especially if they're older.
So I wanted the Mishnah Berurah does say that Mishnah Berurah does say a person should really, really should try to be very, very clean. Mishnah says, Yizoy kol odim shitomit begod of nekiim, he should be clean, his clothing should be clean, ubefrat ba'ez at filin, particularly in the times of davening. So yes, indeed, person should really try to ensure as much basada, although...
I bet everybody, from 50, 60 years old, if you go check himself now, I bet any
there will be, yeah. Furthermore, the Mishnah says also a person's hands called Shiyod of Meluchloches.
Let me be ashamed. You know, the master doesn't work properly when you get older. I'm telling you. Because these people, you know, they have to be check themselves. That's it. You know.
Yeah. The Mishnah points out in this context that a person should also ensure to have his hands very, very clean. We are very lucky nowadays. We're very, very lucky. All we need to do is, you know, switch on the tap. And we've got water. In the olden days, it was much more difficult. But therefore, the Mishnah, that's obviously the background of the Mishnah, to say you've got to make sure your hands are very, very clean for Mimulei Zeot. There could be sweat on your hand. There could be dirt on your hand. It says even from before saying Shema, Tefillah, a person should wash his hands. And it says that if a person doesn't have water, at least he should just rub his hands clean. And he said that's a very, very great chus to do so. He brings it from the Sefer Chassidim that it's a very, very praiseworthy thing to do to really, really ensure a person is at all times very clean. Okay, these are the lochas of this evening. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, Mitzvah, and I wish you a very good evening with snow, without snow. We'll find out. But for now, I wish you a very good evening. Okay.